You know, you usually say, let's get the party started. But I think I just crashed the party. Now we got, you know, this better be good. Come on, Lord, I need your help here. One thing I never get tired of hearing is fellowship amongst believers. I think we can all attest that we've been in different churches, obviously not in our area, amen, but outside of our area, that you walk in and you just go, wow, it's pretty cold in here. Not a whole lot of fellowship, not a whole lot of people going out of the way to be kind. And so I thank God not only for our church, but churches like us that still do that. They're still warm and welcoming, and, you know, it's encouraging to hear people fellowshipping and talking. It never, ever gets old. All right, we're going to go into 1 Timothy today. We'll grab our Bibles and go to 1 Timothy. And we'll start at the end of chapter 1, there, verse 18, 1 Timothy 1, 18. And let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you for being good to us today. Lord, we're just excited not only for the weather, the beautiful sunshine, but the folks that have come out today. Lord, it's just encouraging to be around other believers in Christ and just fellowship and talk amongst ourselves and visit and pray for one another, encourage one another. And Lord, today I do not know where everyone is at spiritually or emotionally. You do. This is not my church, it's your church. These are not my children, they're yours. Lord, I'm asking that you do a work in every individual person's heart here today that only you can do. And at the end of it, Lord, that we would be more conformed to your image and that people would see Christ in us, because at the end of the day, Lord, you're worth it. Lord, we're asking that you would speak to our hearts in whatever situation, whatever circumstance, whatever's going on in our lives. You would answer prayers today through this lesson. That you would give us encouragement. Maybe you're going to teach us something that might not be new, but that we would be reminded of and spark that fire again. And Lord, maybe we'll learn something today that will be good for us to file, and then a week or 2 weeks down the road, that we're going to have a conversation with someone, and this truth is going to come out. We'll be prepared. At any rate, Lord, we want this to be done to honor and glorify you. Guide and direct us now. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so in 1 Timothy chapter number 1, in verse 18, this command I commit to you, my son Timothy, according to the prophecies that were previously given to you, that by them you might fight a good fight, keeping faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and suffered shipwreck in regard to their faith. Among these are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Now we're going to kind of go skim through Timothy here. But Timothy was saved on Paul's first missionary journey, and then his second missionary journey, Acts 14, I believe. He was saved, I think a little bit later, when Paul went through Lystra again for his second time. Timothy had joined up with Paul to be a teacher. Now, Timothy is a very, very important man. There are only a handful of men that Paul trusted to be left behind or go ahead of him or go somewhere that Paul trusted to teach the truth that Paul wanted to be taught. Paul also says that there is no one in the faith like Timothy that is more like me, that loves the Lord like I do. There was no one but Timothy. So in my mind, as a young preacher, pastoring for only 10 years, I look at this and go, okay, here's someone that I can learn from. If we backpedal a little bit in 1 Timothy and look at verse 3, as I urged you when I went into Macedonia, continue to remain at Ephesus so that you might command some to teach no other doctrine, nor pay attention to fables and endless genealogies which cause debates rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. Now, the goal of this command is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, from a sincere faith. So Paul continued his mission going forward into Macedonia, region where there's Philippi and Berea, and what else is up there? Keep on going up. He's going northeast, or northwest, if you will, up and around. So Paul left Timothy at Ephesus to teach some things. Now the end goal is that the body at Ephesus there, in Ephesians, would have love one toward another. You can look at the book of Ephesians, and in chapter 5, the first thing you see is walk in love. So that's the end goal that Paul wants to establish. All right? All these commands, all these teachings, all these things that he's going to tell Timothy, hey, it is on you to continue to teach these things while I'm gone so that people don't just come in there willy-nilly and teaching false doctrine. Because it's going to happen. It's going to come. The church of Christ, the body of believers, needs to represent unity and love. Jesus said himself, how will men know you're my disciples? If we have love one to another. So he's wanting to make that stamp secure and stationary while he's moving on. And he's entrusting this to a man named Timothy. Now he is encouraging Timothy. He's helping Timothy. He's telling him what he wants him to teach. So it's not like Timothy's on his own to go, oh man, what do I do? There's some strict things that Paul once laid out and taught to Timothy. Timothy is responsible for qualifying pastors and deacons. Now Timothy isn't the pastor of this church, but he's responsible for looking over the qualifications. And to help Timothy, Paul lays out guidelines of what that looks like, correct? He helps him out. He's like, hey, here's what you're going to look for in deacons and pastors. If you go to chapter 3, verse 14, it tells us, I am writing these things to you, hoping to come to you shortly, but if I am delayed, you might know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of truth. Without question, great is the mystery of godliness. God was revealed in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached to the Gentiles, believed on in the world, taken up into glory. So he has established these things. He's helping Timothy to know how to conduct himself where? In the house of God, right? The church, which is the pillar and foundation. It is the bare minimum on the actions of what Christ once seen and done. He's saying, hey, I'm going to help you understand how to conduct yourself as a young man in this arena, in this area. Because you're going to have people older than you telling you, well, that's not how we do things. Right? Someone say amen. That's not how we do things. You're going to have Jews coming in saying, listen, believe what Paul said, but you also must follow the law. You're going to have false teaching come in. You're going to have people that are going to be more qualified, that are business people saying, well, I am established in this area. I have made 10 times the amount of money you have, and who are you to tell me? But can you imagine the pressure this young man has? Interesting, isn't it? Now that I'm talking about this, this is a weird direction this is going. I'm in no way referring to myself here. This is kind of odd. A lot of pressure. And Paul is helping him, guide him through this. Like a good discipler. Like a good mentor. Paul knows Timothy needs help. Paul knows I have to go also. So I'm going to help you out. If we look down at chapter 4, verse number 10, for to this end we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. Command and teach these things. So he gives them some things to teach. Let no one despise your youth. Be an example to believers in speech and conduct, in love and spirit, in faith and in purity. So he's giving them a focus, a honed-in purpose, some meaning here on what to do while Paul's gone. He's saying, listen, I haven't abandoned you. I want to come back. But while I'm doing the other work that God has for us, here's some responsibility that you need to do. See, here's where it can kind of get dangerous when you're teaching Scripture or wanting to study it out is you pull out a truth that isn't necessarily being said or implied, but you can look at it and go, wow, he is teaching Timothy how to have responsibility. Responsibility. That's what I see here. He's helping guide him through what responsibility looks like. He also tells him in Timothy 6:11, but you, O man of God, escape these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. So he's helping Timothy have a clear vision and direction on what responsibility looks like. We'll use this today. Now, there's a lot that comes with responsibility. And if I misspell a word, please feel free to correct me. Now, responsibility. Something we want to teach our kids, right? We teach our kids responsibility. We want responsible young people. We want to be responsible ourselves. But one thing I think that we can kind of look over with responsibility is when I accept responsibility, it's everything that comes with that. Time. When I am responsible, you see the time, not only that Paul is investing in Timothy, but the time it's going to take Ephesus and establish this church, it will be a little bit harder for Timothy because he can't just go, hey, Paul, what do we do here? When Timothy's sitting there struggling, Paul will say, okay, good job, Timothy, let me intervene here. He doesn't have that luxury, does he? Paul's gone. So there's going to be a little bit more time involved in helping people do what Paul is asking Timothy to teach these people to do. It's going to take time to go through all the ones that desire the office of a bishop. Those that want to be pastors. Those that want to be deacons. They're going to come, right? The church people that are there and getting this foundation on salvation by grace through faith and the shed blood of Christ and the death, burial, and resurrection. Why? Because there's so many false teachings, correct? There are plenty of false idols, false teachings, false gods. The Jews are coming in teaching their way still. So there are many false things that Timothy's going to have to sifter through. Time. Going to bed late, waking up early. Now, he doesn't say ever, when you hit a certain age, this is going to get better or easier. It's going to stop. To whom much is given, much is what? Required. And when there's much required of someone who gets older and older in the faith, comes more responsibility. But unfortunately, in many cases, as we grow up and get older, we start adjusting our time to fitting different needs. I'm not saying don't take time for your family and friends. I'm not saying that. We need to be balanced in our time, correct? Absolutely. But what I have noticed overall is as we mature and as we get older, sometimes our time, in a good, well-hearted intention, gets us sidetracked off of the preeminence of Christ, Colossians chapter 1. It is amazing how many good intentional things eventually lead us to a wrong way of living. And we think to ourselves, how did I get here? why is it so hard for me to get back to where I spent time with God and I read His Word and I prayed. I did all these great things with God, communing 24/7, praying, reading, witnessing, all these things. It was on my mind. What happened? What happened? My time got spent thinking about how I can spend my time on other good things. But when other good things take priority over the best things, that's where it becomes wrong. When I'm responsible, I take an effect. This is going to cost me some time. I'll never get time back. You invest in time. That's your number one investment. Not money. Not the stock market. Oh, that's probably a good time to buy. It's time. I'm investing my time in what? My walk with the Lord. Studying His Word. Taking that step out, even though I'm scared, to talk to someone about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Talking to someone about praying with them, encouraging them, going out of my, I'm making time to purposefully and aggressively invest Jesus Christ into someone else. Our country isn't the way it is because of politicians. We lost track of our time as born-again believers. Moms and dads got too busy. Grandmas and grandpas got too busy with the truth of Jesus Christ. Well, they'll figure it out. No, if that were true, Paul wouldn't tell Timothy what to do. Oh, he'll figure it out. He's got this. He's telling a grown man what to do, right? Timothy's a grown man. That he needs a plan, a vision laid out for him to follow. All children of God have a plan laid out for them through Scripture on what God desires. A relationship so intimate and beautiful and loving and kind, and just once you start on that path, you just want to soak it up and stay there. You want to abide in Christ, John 15. And then something as little as, you know what? Maybe I'll just take some time for, or I'll replace this time with. And it's just so subtle. Now, if we're not careful, that time is going to start going away and going away and going away from the main priority of my walk with the Lord. Now, I'm not saying spend hours and hours and hours and hours. I'm not saying that. It's balanced. We all have the same 24 hours in a day, correct? What am I doing with that time that's going to last for eternity when I get to heaven? And I am at the judgment seat of Christ. He's going to say, okay, Jesse, here you go. Here's how you spent your time. I'm not talking about just coming to a church service. I'm talking about fighting out there. Praying. Laboring. I'm not saying walking around the entire town, but when I'm in my house, what am I doing at my house? I can go to God's throne, and I can pray on the behalf of others. How many of us have seen an answer to my prayer on my behalf for someone else not actually doing good? We can all raise our hand, right? We can all testify going, yeah, I've seen God answer my prayer for someone else, even in the midst of them not doing good. It's temporal, it'll come and go. But isn't that awesome? I get encouraged when I see my prayers being answered. God doesn't have to answer my prayer. But when I see Him do it, it's like, man, I want to pray more. I want to pray more. I want to pray more. Time. So Timothy is being taught responsibility. Now, he's not saying, let me teach you some responsibility, is he? But you can look into it and go, wow, look at the responsibility Timothy has. Holy smokes, I don't want to be this guy. I am so thankful and grateful for our church and our area. I'm thankful for our county. I'm thankful for everything about this place. I can almost get too thankful where it's like, this is kind of cushy. I like this. What else comes with responsibility? Well, we take on time. When you're responsible, you got to make tough choices, don't you? Can you imagine being Timothy? And going, hey, I love your zeal for God, but you are not qualified to be a pastor. Oh, how heart-wrenching, right? When you read in Timothy, he says those that continue to sin after you have talked to them, after you go through the process of one and two and three witnesses, he says rebuke them openly from the church. But I got to admit, I've never done that. And thank God he has protected me from having to do that. I don't want to do that. But can you imagine Timothy being told this? Going, oh man, are you kidding me? I don't know how he's reacting to this letter written to him. But he has been giving a list of choices that can be tough, right? Now, when you look at it, you go, oh man, everything spiritual is going to be a tough choice if God will just guide you through it. Absolutely. They're still tough in the flesh, isn't it? It's still tough. Talking to someone saying, well, I know for sure I'm going to heaven because I believe that since I've been baptized, I'll go to heaven. You got to go, whoa, whoa, whoa. That's not true. Well, I know for a fact. Do you? Well, I experienced it. Oh, great. Here we go. Well, according to Scripture, baptism doesn't save you. It's accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you're trusting in his death, burial, and resurrection. Now, baptism is good after you're saved. It's not easy. There are tough choices to be made when someone says, I experienced something, and it goes against what the Bible says. I experienced something, whether Paul says it's true or not, I know what happened. Timothy's told to fight a good fight. Can you imagine the pressure on this guy? Paul is teaching him, hey, here's what responsibility looks like. You've got to invest your time. You have to make some tough choices. What else comes? Suffering. Says it right here. Uh, 4:10. For to this end we both labor and suffer reproach. When I'm responsible for the cause of Christ, suffering is going to happen. Thank God Romans 5 explains the process of suffering. It's a good thing. It's not bad. It feels bad, doesn't it? I'm telling you right now, it does not feel good. When I'm standing for truth, I'm doing what God is asking me to do. I'm going, Lord, I'm not living in sin. If there is sin in my life, please expose it to me. I'll confess it. Nothing there. Okay. I'm living in your will. I'm doing everything right according to what I know to be true. Why is this happening? Oh, I know why. Romans 5. Oh, I know why. Jesus told his disciples, listen, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you. It's not because you're doing just good. They're going to go, oh, okay, you're a good citizen. We're going to leave you alone. That didn't happen. When Paul is on his missionary journey, his first one, he's being reproached. Listen, when the Jews were in Thessalonica, there were 20 other religions there. They weren't bothering them. They weren't killing them. They weren't beating them up. They had one of the 20 religions. But as soon as Paul comes in preaching Jesus Christ, oh, we can't have that. God, I'm going where you want me to go. I'm preaching your message. Yeah, suffering's going to happen. People we love that are close to us, bad things are going to happen to them. We have three enemies, world, flesh, and devil. I get that. Suffering is going to come when I am taking on responsibility. When I accept responsibility, this stuff is going to come with it. It's going to happen. Paul said it. We suffer reproach. We're only doing good. Can you imagine Jesus and Paul and these guys, Peter? We're only preaching the truth of the gospel. We're only healing people. We're only seeing prayers answered. Only good is following us, and yet suffering's coming from it. Interesting, isn't it? What else comes with responsibility? Let's see. Time, tough choices, suffering. I hope I took some notes. Last one. can happen, can it? Doing what's right, living godly. The Old Testament promises that God's going to provide for us don't apply to us, because how many born-again Christians doing so well, living for God, have been killed? Now, God will provide for us, amen? But he also might allow us to die. Honestly, I sometimes think that dying is easy to do, to die for a cause. Harder to live for a cause than die for a cause. Nonetheless, this comes with it. Now, you guys doing okay? We're doing good? This is only half of it. There's another half. You notice that, right? So what happens when I What happens when I put my responsibility on someone else? Here's what will happen. Resentment. When I take my responsibility and I place my responsibility on someone else, expecting them to do what I know I should be doing, I get resentful. I become bitter. There's a difference between righteous judgment and hypocritical judgment. Okay? Righteous judgment is discerning through the Word of God that what that person is doing is sinning against God. It doesn't change my love for them or how I am around them. But I'm making a judgment call. If I know someone is living in sin and not doing good, and I'll keep this really clean, am I going to have my kids be babysat by that person? No. Well, you're judgmental. Absolutely, in a righteous way. I'm not saying I'm better than them, right? I'm not being hypocritical judgment. See, when I'm resentful and bitter, I'll be hypocritical. We see Hymenaeus and Alexander, who Paul said, I delivered them to Satan. Satan can have his way with them. We see false teachers coming in, being resentful and bitter that people are following Christ and following the teaching of Paul. So they come in with their own teaching going, yeah, but, and yeah, but, and yeah, but. See, the longer and longer I am in resentment and bitterness, because I'm pushing my responsibility off. You ever notice that? Just at work. Let's just take spiritual things out of it. Let's just say I have responsibility at work, and I keep pushing my tasks off. I start to get a distaste for what I know I should be doing. And then when my boss approaches me and goes, hey, is this task done? And you get mad. It's not his fault that you pushed it off, is it? That's your responsibility. Maybe that was just me. I'm getting a lot of faces like, that never happened to me. Well, praise the Lord. I just confess this. Resentment, bitterness kicks in. And the longer I live there, the more and more I justify my bitterness. Well, do you blame me? I start justifying my false teaching. The longer I'm here and pushing my responsibility off, I become a victim. Why would Paul leave me here? He knows I'm not ready for this. He should have stayed with me longer. He didn't give me any help. You know what? You guys aren't doing what I'm saying. Fine, I'm out of here. I'm done. What was Paul thinking? You guys are a waste of time. See how that works? False teachers creep in. The longer I'm here, the more and more I cannot see and understand truth. You ever been around someone? They're just an angry person. And they'll throw scripture out at you, But it's bitter, it's angry, it's resentful, right? They've stayed there for so long. That it's corrupted them. It's corrupted them. Now their remedy, I'll put this here, this is kind of going in the left field, but we'll just for fun do it. Forgiveness. Paul is teaching Timothy here some responsibility. When I accept responsibility, I'm taking on the time it takes to be responsible, whatever context it is, tough choices, suffering, death. And when I push my responsibility off on someone else, I become resentful. Well, I'm not going to witness because no one wants to get saved. That's not for you to decide. I'm not going to tell somebody about the death, burial, and resurrection because no one wants to hear it. That's not why you tell them. I'm not going to put something spiritual there because, uh-oh, something's going on now. It's in the heart. Someone's pushing the responsibility off because they're feeling convicted. Listen, folks, conviction is a fantastic tool that God uses to say, I love you. Listen to what I'm saying. I get it in my heart. I get it burning in my heart. I go, thank God. Thank you, Lord. I'm glad I'm convicted. That means I'm open to it. And two, you're showing me something that I might be going away from or I need to hear to continue going forward. Thank you. It's God's vision to me in my conviction to go, hey, listen up, pay attention. I'm hugging you. I'm hugging your heart saying, hey, listen to what I'm saying. And the people, since it feels bad, what they do is they push it away. No. When I know I need to forgive, it kind of brings up those bad feelings, doesn't it? Bad feelings start to come up. I go, no, I gotta do that. I layer it down, and I layer it down, and I layer it down to pretty soon I implode. That's never good. And after a while, God will say, okay, fine, I'll give you what you want. I'll let you have what you want. It's not what I desire for you. It's not my will. But if you're pushing so hard against me, fine. I love you so much, I'll let you choose to walk the other way. Like you're going to reap what you sow. But I'll let you go. Isn't that amazing? Responsibility in all its forms, in all its tasks, in all its circumstances. Here's Paul telling Timothy, hey, I'm going to write you a letter. You are there to teach, to outline some things. The end goal is love, is unity among everyone. Now, with that end goal being love, from here, starting the teaching, to the end goal being love, in the middle there, you're going to have to invest some time, maybe some tough choices you might suffer for, and it can kill you. That's why Paul says in Philippians, I press towards the mark of the prize, the high calling of God. That mark there, I can't remember the exact Greek word, but it's where we get our word scope. I'm pressing towards that mark. My vision is focused. I'm honed in. I understand when I take responsibility, this is going to come. And I'm going to be tempted to push my responsibility off on someone else. No. You do it. No. You pray. You read your Bible. You disciple. You witness. You go to church. You encourage someone else. You. It doesn't work that way. When I trust Christ as my Savior, absolutely, thank God, heaven's our home. Absolutely, I can live a victorious Christian life. But there's more to it than that. There's more to it than that. This world's not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Paul is helping Timothy here to have that vision and fixed position on, here's what I want you to accomplish. Here's what's going to take. Here's what's going to require. that you can go over here. That's not where God wants you. You can. Be careful you don't go over there. But knowing your responsibility, here's what's going to come with. Now, there's more than this. This is off the fly right here. But if you look at this, and you look at this, now look at my Savior going, okay, the ultimate price was for God to come in the flesh, to live a perfect sinless life, to be beaten, ridiculed, put down the cross for my sins, rising 3 days later. I'm going to put an evaluation on this. I'm going to evaluate it. Now, I value something by what it cost. Y'all following me? I'm going to place a value on what I think it's worth on the cost. And when I see a perfect, righteous God saying, listen, you guys can't do it. You're not good enough. You're born with an Adamic nature. You can't ever do any good to meet my qualifications. What's going to happen is I'm going to die in your place. And I'm going to pave that bridge, that gap, for you to have a relationship back with me. And I look at that and I go, wow, what's my value on that? Is it so valuable that I'm going to be a responsible born-again believer and invest my time, invest in the tough choices, have some suffering for it? Ultimately, it could kill me. I read my Bible and I go, yep, it could happen. Now, this isn't all doom and gloom. While I'm going through this, being responsible for my Lord and Savior, I have a peace inside of me that you cannot buy. I have a comfort and a love that, just like Stephen, when he's being stoned, that looks up in Acts chapter 7 and goes, hey, forgive them, Lord, for they know not what they do. He's quoting what Jesus said. This is Stephen, a man born like us. But he was so fixed on these principles and other things, obviously, that I don't have time to get into, that as he's being stoned to death, says, Lord, forgive them, for they know what to do. Wow. It's amazing. Comfort while being stoned to death. Comfort, peace while being killed. You can have these things, but just so you know, God, in his goodness and mercy and grace, that when I'm going through this, there is a peace and a comfort and a joy and a wisdom and a knowledge that comes flooding into my life when I stay faithful, being a responsible born-again believer. I'm reading knowing what can happen. I'm reading and knowing what must be done. I'm reading knowing, okay, God, this seems like a lot, but I know if I'm fixed on you, I take responsibility, and these things are going to come with it, you will see me through every single act and action that you want to accomplish through my life. Okay. Okay. You got it. I'm all yours. You bought me anyways. Romans 12, my reasonable service could be I let my life be a worshipful service to you. You got it, Lord. You got it. How do I apply this to my life? Good question. Am I looking at Christianity with just an aspect of being responsible and knowing that as a responsible born-again believer, these things might come with it? And still saying, okay, Lord, I need your guidance. I need your help. The Bible tells us that if any man asks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives all men liberally, in the book of James chapter 1. But I need wisdom on what to do here. I'm being responsible. I'm kind of stuck. I'm a little nervous. I'm waiting on you. As I'm doing what I know what to do, oh, thank you, Lord. And the more and more I do that, and the more and more I do that, the more and more I build up my evidence to where this is just happening supernaturally. I'm not picking on what to do. I've lived here for so long, I've done this for so long that there's nothing else I want to do. I just want to keep going. I just want to keep going. I just want to keep going. Is there ever a temptation to go over here? Yeah, sure, okay. But it's not strong. It's not heavy. There comes a point in my life where it might happen. You saw it really heavy in the book of Elijah. Or the book of Elijah. I'm sorry. Was Elijah? No, there's no book of Elijah. Okay. What kind of church is this? Lord, I'm the only one serving you. No. There's more. He got over here, didn't he? Think about it. Just this week, on viewing the Christian life, looking at through a lens on what does a responsible Christian look like? And see how it affects your life this week. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for being good to us today. We are very grateful and thankful for your truth. Lord, thank you for the example of Paul and Timothy and what a great disciple mentorship looks like. Lord, thank you for showing us what discipleship and mentorship looks like, that we can follow it and invest our lives in the others, as Paul did, and others. Lord, I don't know where everyone's at here spiritually, but I ask, Lord, that you would just work in each and every individual on whatever you enlighten them with, whether it was conviction or whether it was just a new truth, that they would walk out of here more like you. More like you. For we are ambassadors for Christ. Not more like the Way Church, more like Jesus. Lord, encourage us this week that as we are responsible Christians, knowing that what comes with responsibility, that we would rely on you 24/7 to see us through every single action, every single prayer request, every single whatever it is. Lord, allow us to experience that peace and comfort and joy that you can only deliver through your Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for your love, your grace, and your mercy. We ask these in Jesus' name. Amen.